Views and opinions expressed on this show or any other show on Hronco Radio Network are not necessarily those reflective of Hronco Radio owners, affiliates, or local sponsors. Any hurt feelings or mixed emotions infringing upon the PC movement should be referred to Hronco's Human Services Department, which can be reached at blah, 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 to which time you will be told to shut. On behalf of Hronco Radio Network, I would like to take this time now to thank you from the bottom of our blackened souls. Thank you! Ha, 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 ha.
Ah, it is so good to see you again, sir. I see you have brought your friends with you this time. Very good, sir. Would you like your usual table? Right this way, then, sir. Please follow me.
Who are we kidding? We're not that stuffy.
I knew I was being threatened. Do you think it's worth holding out? I mean, I've heard some pretty ugly things about those guys. Ugly stories. Watch them.
Ladies and gentlemen, this time for Politics Cafe, where we sit down and discuss anything and everything. No holds barred. Bring any topic to the table. We don't care. We'll discuss it. Come on in. Sit down. Take a load off. Now, the host of the show, Mark.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and fellow conversationalists around the world, and welcome once again to the Politics Cafe at www.hernco.com, the best in internet talk radio. The Politics Cafe is a small cafe located on an isolated stretch of the information superhighway where we get together once a week and grill up some fresh topics for your digestion. And, yeah, lots of grilling tonight. We have got the fire stoked high. It's, and up to folks, it is not looking good. Craziness will reign supreme. I started talking on the last show, which was 2 weeks ago. Sorry about last week. Someone evidently did not like my show from the week before and decided to ship me a virus that I had one hell of a time getting rid of. But the superior tech people over here at Hernco.com, my son, did a hell of a job here at the Politics Cafe. Really went through this computer and actually saved all of my good stuff and cleaned it out. I did one heck of a job, so big shout out to my son, Matthew. Good job. Thank you very much. The computer is running like the Ferrari that you built for me, which it is. You know, I'll tell you what, you know, nothing like finding somebody that really knows what they're up to. Not like having somebody that really knows what they're up to in the family with the computers. This one that I'm working on here is not really a name brand. It's got a lot of name brand stuff in it, Asus motherboard, and a Cooler Master Tower and all that, but, you know, my son went out bought all of the stuff separately and put this thing together, and it is a hot rod, and I gotta love it. But at any rate, folks, it's hot. It is hot up here in the Berkshires, and that is a faux show. We had a little thunderstorm come blowing through here a little while ago, which I was hoping was going to cool things off, but I only managed to make everything a little damper, a little stickier. Yes, I am sitting here now with nothing on but a pair of shorts. Yeah, I know the visual of that is probably not something that you wanted to hear, but I'll tell you what, it's warm. They make no doubt about it here, and I love it. You know, I've been hearing a lot of people around here complaining, oh, the heat, oh, global warming. Look, what are you trying to tell me here, that it's never gotten hot around here in the summertime? Give me a break, you know? I remember stories. I remember when I was a kid. We had a July and an August here in the Berkshires that was, Christ, was hitting 110, 112 degrees in the shade. It was very, very hot. It has been dry, you know, much drier than it has been around here. I mean, we've actually had enough rain here over the last couple of weeks that the greens softened up and will actually hold your ball if you hit it. It's a very, very nice thing for those of us out there that are actual hackers at the golf game. You know, I mean, you know, it's not hard to hit a green. It's just hard to hold it. But the greens were really nice. Got out over the weekend, went over to Winding Brook over in Volusia, New York. Hats off to those people. Really did a good job through everything here, keeping one heck of a golf course. And we had a good time. Had a real good time. All right, but getting upwards and onwards into the news. I know you folks didn't want to come in here and hear about my complaints. I did have a complaint tonight lined up for tonight, but I think I might save it for later. I got a couple nasty letters to write first. At any rate, we started to talk last week about the financial reform bill, and I was well, it's a farce. It's a huge farce. But they're already battling over a few things here. Now, basically, this, in a nutshell, it puts together a few agencies, one super agency, which I don't think has really been named yet. However, there will be, under this one here, under this financial regulation bill, a Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection. Excuse me. And this is tonight. This is down off of the Upshot, which is a Y News blog off of Yahoo, by Rachel Rose Hartman, which, by the way, all articles read on the Politics Cafe are for informational, educational, and discussion purposes only. Now, Rachel writes, annoyed by random bank fees, angry that you can't seem to get out from under your credit card bills? Well, Congress says help is on the way. The soon-to-be-signed financial regulation bill, which, believe it or not, has not been signed by Mr. Obama, will establish a Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection. Now, the Bureau's aim is to protect consumers from being taken advantage of by mortgage lenders, credit card companies, banks, and other financial institutions. And the effectiveness of the Bureau will depend. Now, a controversy is already brewing over whom the president should appoint. A longtime fan, Elizabeth Warren, whose advocacy in 2007 for what she called a Financial Product Safety Commission, is recognized as the impetus for the Bureau's inclusion in the bill. It was partly because she pushed hard for financial industry accountability and transparency that she was chosen to head the Congressional Oversight Panel that monitors the bank bailout known as TARP, the Troubled Assets Relief Program. But no sooner had the financial reform bill passed the Senate last week than the Huffington Post reported that Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner opposed Warren. Has told HuffPo that Warren's public grilling of Geithner had led to a somewhat strained relationship. And according to HuffPo, Warren's toughness on giant banks is said to be a long-time source of tension with Geithner. Well, yeah, it will. You gotta stop and think about this. The infighting is already beginning here. Progressive groups such as MoveOn.org jumped to Warren's defense after the HuffPo's report last week, arguing that a decision not to nominate Warren should be viewed as a win for Wall Street. White House senior advisor David Axelrod tried to tamp down the controversy Friday by lauding Warren in a statement that she reiterated she remains a potential candidate for the chairmanship. Multiple sources report that Geithner favors one of his own deputies, Assistant Secretary for Financial Institutions Michael Barr, for the position. A third individual believed to be on the short list is Eugene Kimmelman, Vice President for Federal and International Affairs at Consumers Union. folks, you gotta love it. This is where it begins. Who it is going to be leading these things. Now, look, obviously, Geithner and the boys, they want their own people in there. He's gonna want somebody from Wall Street, you know, probably most notably coming from Goldman Sachs. Now look, this is really, in fact, no different whatsoever than the health care bill. All right? What you are having put up here in front of you is a more government institutions that will be picking and choosing who wins and who loses now in the financial industry. It's not going to be determined by the free market anymore. Once you get to a certain size, and I believe in the bill it said something like $50 billion in assets, which I hardly believe is going to be the bottom limit before they start looking at anyone. You come under automatic scrutiny of these people. You know, now, of course, every financial product that's going to hit the marketplace out there will be coming under scrutiny of all of this. And I mean everything. It doesn't matter what you're looking at, whether it be a bond. Shares of stock may or may not, but a share of stock is not necessarily a financial product. You know, that is actually a title. It's ownership to a portion of a corporation or a company or whatever it is you want to call it there. However, what it means is that you're going to have people in the government who are going to have the final say on whether or not your business gets to succeed or fail. Now, if they're already fighting over who it is they want in there, why do you think that might be? Geez, do you think it's like somebody wants their friends to succeed, you know, and somebody else wants their friends to succeed, and somebody else can see dollar signs lighting up all over the place? Well, you betcha. Matter of fact, they all see dollar signs lighting up all over the place, except for, in fact, and indeed, Miss Elizabeth Warren here. Now, a little bit of checking on her, believe it or not, she's not that bad as far as looking at everything that's going on there. You know, my complaint with Miss Elizabeth Barr is that, or Elizabeth Warren, is that, look, they got her doing exactly what they got everybody doing. She's chasing their tail. You know, while everyone looks at the financial world out there, you know, and realizes, well, this is bad and this needs to be changed, and this over here, this is bad, this needs to be changed. Of course, you know, all they're doing is morphing changes from one thing to another. You know, you when you have got a setup like the current financial setup, which is basically making currency out of debt. And let's face it, there are all sorts of currency going on out there right now. There are bonds being sold in companies that will be doing nothing more than be creating more debt. Purchasing debt, selling debt, making profits on the purchase and sales of different debt contracts, creating your own debt contracts, creating your own wagering contracts, which, believe it or not, they abound out there. But all of this, I mean, it's a free-for-all any way you look at it. Now, you could sit down and say, well, this free-for-all had to be a good free-for-all because it worked. And this free-for-all over here, that can't be a good free-for-all because that one doesn't work. So we got to have somebody in there that knows what they're doing to pick and choose. Well, I'm sorry, but the ones that are going to go in there and pick and choose, you know, are taking the place of a free market, which will pick and choose for itself. You know, once again, I heard the complaints. I brought this up today in a conversation with somebody. What did I hear? But you can't just leave it all to the free market. And I'm like, look, you better understand something here. You have not had a free market in 100 years. There is no free market. The free market is gone. You know, people would not recognize a free market if they tripped over it. You know where you would recognize a free market at? Is at a swap meet. That's where you see a free market, where people are trading things. You know, generally Harley owners get into swap meets. You take all your Harley parts up and you try to sell them off, and you go there to buy other Harley parts. Now, the fact that they're using the currency in there kind of limits the effectiveness of the swap meet per se, you know, but it's all cash and carry any way you look at it. All the deals are all final, you know, unless of course you find something that you want to sell to somebody else, what have you. But it's gone. You know, otherwise, you know, and it's really the way you gotta look at it, you know. So, you know, it's nice to see Miss Elizabeth Warren, who, like I said, I've done some checking up on her, and she really is a diligent person. You know, she really does understand most of how everything works out there, and a keyword here being most. And who, you know, obviously sees the need for regulation, per se, you know, but just doesn't understand the fact that, look, I'm sorry, but what they've all been allowed to do out there, and what they've got a Federal Reserve backing them up as they do it, is heinous to begin with, and it's all because we've all bought into that need once again for paper dollars. Yeah, you gotta love it. Now, I know my buddy Pox is in the room here, and he's waiting right up behind me. He's probably gonna come up behind me and give me some grief on this, but fact of the matter is, you know, no amount of regulation out there is going to halt this mess. And what I see coming down the road here is this, more than anything else, is a stifling of real innovation for real products in this country, for new products, new goods, new services, things that will make our lives easier, things that will make our lives better, you know, things that will just generally help, things that will actually bring about progress in humanity. Not the progress that the progressives want, you know, some backward step into a collectivist nightmare, but real progress. You know, the kind of progress that brought us trains, planes, and automobiles. You know, the kind of progress that brought you washing machines, that brought you dishwashers, that brought you dryers. You know, the kind of progress that keeps you from beating clothes on a rock down near the stream. You know, the kind of progress that keeps you from running to the public town square with a bucket so that you can get some water. You know? The kind of progress that brought you indoor plumbing, the kind of progress that brought you a nice warm bathroom, you know, and a place to take a shower. That's the kind of progress that's going to get stifled here. Because the fact of the matter is here that no matter who gets in there or what regulations that you have, in the end it will be one person telling another, you know, what they can do and what they can't do. People should be free to bring their products to the marketplace, including financial products, and let the marketplace determine whether or not these financial products pass or fail. You know, there's always the courts. If somebody comes in there with a case of fraud, and fraud can be proved, there's always courts that are going to straighten things out. okay? Witness Bernie Madoff. All right, Bernie Madoff didn't make off with anything. All right, not in the end. It's that simple. It's are available to us out there if we have a problem with things. There's no doubt about it. But the free market has always been the best. We have the internet. You know, we can find out which products out there are good and which products out there are not so good. Pretty damn quick. Pete, you can go out there and take a look at stuff. I found myself in a position this weekend. You know, crazy position. Woke up, was noticing, one of the first things I noticed when I got up, that was, and you folks all remember, long-time listeners of the show, I put in new kitchens, a new kitchen in this house, and I put in both of my bathrooms are brand new, and I went right through everything. Now it's, which included all new fixtures, new sinks, you know, I did all this. And while I'm in the bathroom there Saturday morning, I noticed that I have a slight drip coming from the faucet in the downstairs bathroom. I'm thinking, well, this is no big deal, you know. I can't seem to turn it off, but hey, yeah, well, you know, I'll just run up to the hardware store where I purchased this little problem at and fix it. You know, get the parts I need and bang, 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 take it apart and I'll fix it. Okay, dandy. Now, put this in the back of my head, head out into the kitchen, where I have another new set of fixtures. And take the coffee pot, clean her up, fill her up with fresh water, and go to make a pot of coffee and turn around and find out that now I cannot shut off the kitchen sink. The cartridge in the kitchen sink, which got a real nice setup on there, won't turn off. Okay, well, this is more than just a problem. Now I end up shutting off the water to both of these devices and figuring out what am I going to do here. Well, I figure this is just going to be a cartridge. I tear down the sink, get the cartridge right out of it. It takes all of about 10 minutes to get the cartridge out of this thing. Real piece of cake. And then I start on a hunt for a cartridge. Now, this turns out to be a problem. There is not one of these cartridges in captivity anywhere. I do a search on the internet after hitting every store within 45 miles. I'm figuring, you know, look, if I can find one here today and get this damn thing fixed up here by 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I can still go play golf and I'll have everything fixed up. Okay, all right, no problem, right? Well, I can't find one in captivity. There's none. There just isn't a cartridge to fit this thing to be had anywhere within 50 miles of where I'm sitting right now. Okay, come back. Do a search for this thing on the internet. Can't find it on the internet. Ain't made. Had one hell of a time. And now I bought this part locally, right uptown here, and went crazy in the store. They cartridge goes in. It's a simple looking device. The thing came right out of there. They gotta have it. They got fifth shelf. Nobody's got one. All right, give up on a project. Leave the kitchen sink shut off. Leave the bath, fix the bathroom sink with $5 worth of parts. Leave the kitchen sink shut off. Go play golf. Say to hell with it. Put it off again yesterday. Today, wake up, figure up. First thing this morning, I'm going to have at it. Can't do a thing. All right, so now, of course, while I'm doing all this, I'm looking through all these parts and everything online. I figure, well, I may end up having to go buy another one. Well, I did. I went through and looked at different manufacturers and looked at different prices of things, you know, that I was going to buy, and looked at some of the comments and praises, you know, see, hey, who's doing good, who's doing bad, you know, what's giving me good stuff. I had had problems with certain manufacturers before. A couple of manufacturers were actually very, very good as far as their warranties. I will say about Moen, to be honest with you, I thought they were really good. I mean, all you got to do is give them a phone call, and they will overnight you anything that you think you need for free. You know, real good about it. The only problem I found with Moen is that you were making that phone call on a regular basis. You just get tired of doing it after a while. So I went out, and I found a brand that I liked. And then I just went right up to Home Depot today after a fruitless search of everything else and bought the brand that had the best responses. Brought it home. Took me about 25 minutes to install it. Bang, we're back to new again. Hopefully this is going to last for a while. But, you know, the point that I'm making here, the free market in this point in time, you know, worked. All right? I got a chance to look. I had a good communication device here. I could look online. I could go and see who made good comments about this, who made bad comments about that. I found no bad comments about the one that I bought here. And I'll be honest with you. I'll give a shout out to Glacier Bay, which is the name of the device that I put on there, the new kitchen sink tap. And it's a real pretty one, too. It's really sharp looking. Upgraded the kitchen a little bit. Looks a little nicer. But that's the point here. This is what needs to be done. People have got to be responsible for the decisions that they are making out in the marketplace. And when people are not having that responsibility, okay, what you end up with, you know, and what we're ending up with in here is going to be a very, very, very limited choice of options that you're going to be able to go to for different things that you're going to want to buy. And this isn't going to be just in the financial sector. That's the hard part about this. This is what you really got to realize here. Because the financial sector, okay, sits on top, or at least sits to the side of everything. All right, anybody out there that comes out with a new idea is going to need that new idea funded. Where does that money come from? It comes from the investment community. It comes from places like Wall Street. All right, that's where the money comes from that gets thrown at good ideas. Now, grant you, it's going to take someone out there to risk his money, okay, and he may end up losing that money. But things work, you know. And somebody may come out with one of the best products in the world, and everybody's going to sink tons of money into that product, you know, to bring it to the marketplace. And tell you what, a month after that product comes out, somebody might come out with something better, and all that money might end up going down a drain. That's the chances you take. But the fact of the matter is, if you are not free to take those chances, that's when the problems develop. That's when all you get is that which is allowed by some government bureaucrat sitting somewhere in some dark little office way back in a corner of Congress or some other federal building sitting somewhere in some nondescript area around the USA. Will have made a choice concerning some financial company somewhere that would not be able to invest in a good idea. And what's going to be coming here? Well, you know, the tried and the true. We're going to make sure that we stay with that. But the thing about it is, the tried and the true, look, it's only as good as it is until something better comes along to replace it. Do you really want to have the government making the decision that something coming along to replace it is better or not? Or would you rather have the free market find out? Now, that's the post. That is the post. All right, now we got somebody in a room here that's got that's trying to change the topic on me. And what the hell? I'm in an easy mood tonight. It's hot. I don't really feel like getting upset with anybody. Mr. Spednik. And he said he would like to know, how many more Americans must die in Iraq or in Afghanistan before we leave? Well, why are you asking me this, Mr. Spednik? That's what I would like to know. He has no sound. Oh. You gotta love people like that, how they have no sound. And I expect he wants me to answer in type. Well, I can't really send the sound of tapping out over this, but hey, you can get right, exactly. Ask Mr. Obama. Ask the commander in chief that, you know. Now, as a former member of the service, I'm not going to go into this with him. What Obama's doing over there is evident to everybody at this point in time. What just happened with Mr. McChrystal out there is evident to everybody at this time. So it's not for me to say now, is it? You know, it's insane. It's insane what's going on overseas. But you know, look, I don't have anything on the list for that tonight. Let's go on here. Anyway, folks, this financial reform bill, which he has not signed yet, you know, and I can't really imagine why not. What's holding him up here? I'm not really sure. I think that I think he could be waiting for Congress to go to recess. And then start making recess appointments to all of these positions. I really believe that that is what is coming down the road here next, so that Obama will be able to pick the people that he wants. And trust me, if he picks the people that he wants who are going to be answerable to him, in effect, that puts the President of the United States in charge of the economy of the whole country to say what goes and what fails. I'm here to tell you, folks, that that is a position that in the past has only ever been held by dictators, and dictators who did not end up faring well, as history has proven. All right, so so we don't need financial reform. Bucket of pork, my friend, what we need is a financial reform that returns us to a sound currency. That, my friend. Okay, no. Did I come out here and say, do we not need financial reform? You haven't listened to the show before, have you there, Mr. Bucket of Pork? You know, would you like to, if you want, put your hand up. You can grab the mic if you'd like to and really place your question to the audience out there. But the point that I'm trying to make here, Mr. Bucket of Pork, and perhaps I wasn't there, that, you know, my statement has always been that we need to go to what is called a sound currency. All right, I am a fighter for sound currency. I've always been a fighter for a sound currency. You do not have a sound currency here. Mr. MX, how you doing there tonight, brother? Good to see you. Right, you know what I mean? Bucket of pork, let me put it to you this way. All right, 90% of the miscreants that you see going on into big business, the complaints that you hear about big corporations that go crazy, do this because they have available to them an unlimited source of funds that can be created out of thin air. All right? That, my friend, is the problem. When they're dealing with a sound currency, with something that must be produced, those funds are not, hey, those funds only go to people who produce real goods and real services in the marketplace. And those services and amass great wealth because of it, okay, are generally very careful about where they invest that wealth. Of course, they want to make that wealth grow. All right, they've always wanted to do this, so they will place their investments very, very carefully, aimed places. You know, that's the big point about all this. All right, that's why I've always been yes, we definitely need financial stability, but financial reform. Look, at this point in time, all you're going to get is you're not going to ever get financial reform. We're only going to get financial transformation. Okay, from one gobbledygook mess to another gobbledygook mess, because you have not solved the underlying problem of all of this. All right, you know, some accountability would be good too. But see, it's going to be much more accountable when you were dealing with the sound currency, because everything's dearer. Okay, and it's another world. All right, let's get out of this guy here. I really got to get moving on. Actually, I got to take a break. We've hit the bottom of the hour here, folks. Take your time, head on over to www.herncode.com, take a look through Bob's store, see what's new for sale in there. Might be something pleasant for you to buy to while away your summertime evenings. But in the meantime, we'll be right back. You are listening to the Politics Cafe at www.herncode.com, the best in internet talk radio. Be right back.
All right, this next question is for Caroline. Caroline, if you take the bus 60 miles to school at 5:30 a.m. and the bus is traveling at an average of 30 miles per hour, how are you going to get to your prenatal appointment and still make it to homeroom on time?
Some students are tackling more than just their schoolwork, which is why more than 30% of them aren't graduating. But you can give them the boost they need to make it through by visiting boostup.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
I wasn't going to school because I was just making money stealing cars. And one day, I was put into juvie for two stolen cars, robbery of a house, and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon.
Well, I was 10 when I first got involved with drugs. I skipped school because, nobody cared. I was on drugs, and my mom didn't really care because she was on drugs. She was never home.
When I first got pregnant, school was not important to me, so I dropped out. And now that I'm 15, I have two babies.
I was heading nowhere. I just thought, the only way I can make something out of my life is that if I get an education. One day I was locked up. That's when I really realized that, it wasn't for me. Like, I was only in there 2 months, but to me that was enough. It'd be better for me to stay in school, just get my education.
I still need to go to school to make it for myself.
Stay in school. Give yourself a chance.
I think I'm happier now. I know I'm happier now.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and Lost Cat stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the Lost Cat Magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a Lost Cat Magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
And we're back. You're listening to the Politics Cafe at www.hernco.com, the best in internet talk radio. All right, folks, got a crazy one on the list here tonight. This down off the AFP News Network, unauthored as usual, but generally read on the money here. The 1,200 National Guard troops that Barack Obama ordered to the border to begin that. How these ads have come up here. At any rate, National Guard heading to the border to stop drug smuggling, drug trafficking, and other miscreations that are going on across the border. Alan Burson, the Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection, better known as the Border Czar, said the deployment will begin August the 1st, and said that the troops should be in place fully by September. The soldiers will provide direct support to federal law enforcement officers and agents working in high-risk areas to disrupt criminal organizations seeking to move people and goods illegally across the southwest border, said Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano. The troops will provide a one-year bridge to give U.S. Customs and the U.S. Border Patrol time to hire and train about 1,000 more agents, officials said. National Guard Bureau Chief General Craig McKinley said the soldiers will mostly work observing suspicious movement along the 2,000-mile-long border and relaying any information back to the Border Patrol agents. Right. Other Guard troops work as criminal and intelligence analysts, McKinley said. The National Guard will be in a support role under the command of state governors and senior state officials, and under the leadership of U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency and the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency. Now that right there, folks, okay, before I get into the rest of this, that is what you call a recipe for a cluster screw-up, all right? I'm trying to watch my language here. My wife's been giving me hell about it. But but look, you're going to take 1,200 people and you're going to bring them in under three different agencies. Yeah, right. Force U.S. immigration laws. And McKinley emphasized that they will only use their weapons in self-defense, but they will be armed. And that was a big key. That was one of my questions here. Six aircraft have also been ordered to the border to be added to the fleet of helicopters, planes, and drones already monitoring the region, officials said. The largest group of guardsmen, 524, were being sent to the state of Arizona, currently the favorite corridor for drug and human smugglers. The troops are being deployed as a controversial new Arizona immigration law is set to take effect July 29, making it a crime to be in the border state without proper immigration papers. The Obama administration has sued Arizona to stop the law from being implemented, arguing that only the federal government can handle immigration issues. Obama's May announcement deploying the National Guard came less than a week after Mexican President Felipe Calderon, who asked for greater U.S. backing for his bloody three-year-old war on drug cartels, was in Washington on a state visit. U.S. Senators from Arizona, Republicans John McCain and John Kyle, welcomed the move, saying the announcement of additional personnel and resources to Arizona is a step in the right direction. However, a lot more needs to be done. We look forward to working with the administration to make this deployment of federal agents permanent and on enacting their own plan for securing the border, the lawmakers said. Now, this is just wonderful news, isn't it, folks? Now, I'm here to tell you that this is going to be the beginning of all kinds of craziness going on down on the border. All right, you think we're having a big problem right now with illegals coming over the border, with drug smugglers and stuff. And I'm not going to tell you that there's not a big problem going on out there. But these problems are about to get multiplied. We may see, yes, less drugs in the country. Quite possible. We may see less people crossing the border right there. But what we are also going to see on top of that, skirmishes. Guaranteed to see skirmishes. All right, and there will come a point in time when enough of them, because look, these drug smugglers are armed to the teeth, okay, and they are huge, and they have tons of money behind them. Tons of money buys you tons of people in places where people are starving, all right? Haven't the Muslims shown us that over in the Middle East? All right, tons of money buys you tons of people that will act in manners, you know, as directed. It will also buy tons of guns. I would expect to see at some point, not long after September, when everything's fully on the border, fully in force here, some sort of eruptions beginning back and forth. And at some point or another, we're going to end up making an incursion into Mexico. I can see this. It is coming. It is coming for a couple of different reasons. A, Felipe Calderon is asking for our help. Now, Felipe Calderon has staged a three-year bloody battle against drug smugglers. Now, a three-year battle against criminals in your country, all right, you know, country the size of Mexico, three-year long, doesn't sound like you're winning the battle to me. All right, doesn't sound like you're coming anywhere close to winning the battle. Okay, the drug smugglers have got better guns. The drug smugglers have got more money. The drug smugglers are probably going to find out that it's far easier to pay off those who would come and hunt you down than it would be to, you know, fight them. You know, this is not going to be pretty coming down the road. The point in time is coming, and folks, long-time listeners of the show know full well that I have said in the past that, look, the only thing that's really going to straighten out Mexico is going to have to be the Mexicans. All right, and it's going to, you know, look, I've always said we should invade Mexico. I'd make no bones about it. We had to invade Iraq, okay? Iraq, direct threat to this country. You know, whether you want to believe that or not, forget it. All right, it was a direct threat to the peace and stability of the entire world, not just this country. But here, okay, Mexico, a direct threat. I'm sorry, but the point in time has to come about, okay, when the socialism, when the cronyism, when the old-style feudalism that keeps Mexico in such a state of decrepit poverty, comes to a head, some point in time, it's going to have to change. Now, obviously, the Mexican people who keep trying to bring about change aren't doing it. No other methods here other than trying your own socialist methods. You know, let's face it. I mean, what did we have in the last election? You know, we had the left versus the far left. That's really what it was all about. I mean, let's face it. You know, we had watched Mr. Obrador on the far left lose to Mr. And I just said his name 2 seconds ago here. Mr. Calderon on, you know, the not so far left. But either way you look at it, they're leftists. You know what I mean? Every single one of the guerrillas and whatnot that has been taken over all throughout Latin America. I mean, look, you don't have to look at me. Look at the history of all this. The Sandinistas, you know, Che Guevara and company. You know, all of them. What did they end up with? Socialism, communism, what have you. You know, make no mistake about it. None of these moves have ever made a damn bit of difference to any of these countries down there. They are still poor. These people are still doing all they can to make their way here. You know, it's easy to get here. Okay, we still have a huge appetite for drugs in this country. So that's going to make its way up here. Look, you're going to have nothing but criminals coming over the bottom, over the border. I mean, let's face it, this is going to continue. And the biggest incentive being, hey, some kind of a life. Because down there, you have no life. I mean, it's that simple. So until these people are given the opportunity to have a life of their own, all right, which is only going to come about through some sort of violence, let's face it, folks, because it's the violence that keeps them where they are, it's a moot point. But the way I see it here, sticking 1,200 National Guards on the border who will be armed, you know, working as only advisory positions, or, you know, supplemental help. Nah, I ain't buying it. I'm sorry. You know, only going to be there for support. Nope, can't buy it. I'm sorry, folks. You know, any way you look at this. All right, now, something else we have to get more. I got to get more going on here. Okay, so Obama had to come out again today. And this is good. Now, he has announced today that we have a new national oceans policy. Designed to promote healthy ecosystems in coastal waters, seas, and Great Lakes surrounding the United States, Obama formalized recommendations of an ocean policy task force in an executive order. Another level of government, thank you very much. As his administration battles the worst environmental disaster in U.S. history, spawned by the Gulf of Mexico oil spill. The Deepwater Horizon oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico and resulting environmental crisis is a stark reminder of how vulnerable our marine environments are, Obama said in the order. The president also noted America's stewardship of healthy oceans and Great Lakes along the border with Canada were linked to human health, national prosperity, international diplomacy, and national and homeland security. The order adopted the recommendations of an interagency task force on oceans policy, which would oversee expanding U.S. uses of oceans and coastal areas and adopt new planning models. Specifically, the order directs the government to improve resiliency of ocean and Great Lakes ecosystems and coastal regions and to use the best available science to make decisions about maritime waters. Now, you gotta love this, okay? This is a government-directed order to improve the resiliency of ocean and Great Lakes ecosystems. All right, and now at this point in time, let me tell you something out there, folks. Okay, the ocean, yes, it is a very resilient thing. Yours truly. Okay, not great. I never finished college, but, you know, what I was studying was fisheries biologist. Yes, I was a fisheries biologist or someone studying to become one once upon a time. Many professors tell me one thing. The ocean, very large, very resilient. All we had to do was stop dumping stuff in it, and she would clean herself up. Now, what do we got the president coming out here and doing? Okay, ordering the government to improve the resiliency of the ocean and Great Lakes ecosystems. All right, listen, do you know who it was that created the ecosystems in the Great Lakes and in the oceans? It was God, Mr. Obama. You really think that you are going to go out there and improve on God's work? That, my friend, I'll tell you something. This is probably the single most audacious statement that this man has come out and said to date so far. He has now directed the government to improve on nature. He has directed the government to improve on creation, on the planet. Yeah, he must think he is God. It's unbelievable. Well, it directs the establishment, and here we go, this is what was happening here. He needed some buddies, he had some buddies that needed a job. It directs the establishment of a National Ocean Council to oversee marine planning and to promote long-term conservation and sustainable use of oceans. Boy, there's them key buzzwords. Thank you very much, George Lakoff. Long-term conservation and sustainable use. Buzz, 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 buzz. You love them words. The council would be charged with ensuring that the overlapping state and government agency policy actions on ocean and marine time environment are coordinated. Paper shufflers, thank you very much. Today, possibly more than at any point in our nation's history, we appreciate that health oceans matter, said Dr. Jane Lubchenco, administrator of the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration. Today we extend our nation's proud conservation ethic beyond our shores and into our coasts, oceans, and Great Lakes. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you just feel good? Doesn't it make a tingly feeling just go right up and down your leg? I mean, I'll tell you what, I feel warm and fuzzy all over just knowing that the government is going to improve on God's work. Yep. You just gotta love it. All right, for some of you, the Australians out there, we did have a little announcement out there. They are going to be holding elections on August the 21st. And also, they dug up and reburied some World War I heroes that they had out there. I guess they've brought their remains back from France and into Australia to have them buried at home, which I think is a nice gesture. Nice to go around the world and think about where your people are and where they were from. Now getting straightened out. So hats off once again to the Aussies. You know, I was talking to the Aussies quite a bit the last couple of days about their health system. You know, now I'm here to tell you that, look, they've already got socialized health care over there. All right? And, that's one of the reasons that, you know, we're looking at it here. Wow, it works so well around the world. Well, believe it or not, the Aussies are the only ones out there that I have talked to yet that have been happy with their system. And every Aussie pays into it. But what I can tell right now, the Aussies seem to be managing to pull this off at 1.5% of everyone's paycheck. Now, folks, I'm here to tell you something. If I think I can get away with this for 1.5% of the paycheck, that is not a bad deal. But I'm also here to tell you that your typical minimum wage worker out there who is going to be paying $250 to $300 a month is going to be paying a whole lot more than that. All right? And if he ain't, people who are making more are going to be making up his difference on it. All right? Yeah, this is this insanity of a healthcare program is just it's insane. Still waiting to see when somebody's going to bring this thing into the Supreme Court and challenge the whole law. I don't understand how they can do it. I really don't understand where the federal government gets the right to tell you that you have to go out there and do business with another human being. You know, where you have to, where you are must, where you are now directed by law, by the force of law, at the point of a gun, to go out there and purchase insurance from an insurance company. You know, especially when they sit down and tell you, oh, well, you know, we're only going to allow certain insurance companies to come along. You know, the ones that are going to follow our directives. You know, because we all know who that'll be. Yep, the ones that they gave to your campaign now won't it be. Right. Right, 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 right. You gotta just love this. There's craziness is reigning supreme out there. All right, by the way, the plug that they have put over the cap appears to be working for the most part. Still seems to have a little bit of seepage and a little bit of weepage coming out of there. As we used to say in the auto business, seepage and weepage. A little bit of gas still escaping, a little bit of oil still escaping. For the most part, it's slowed down pretty damn good. but they do have another thing that came out right before the show here. At any rate, and this is, they floated a new option today to plug the Gulf of Mexico oil leak in the economic and environmental disaster sooner than expected. The static kill operation would involve pumping heavy drilling fluids, known as mud, through the blowout preventer valve system that sits on top of the well, and then injecting cement to seal it. Similar to the top kill operation that failed in May, BP believes it will now work because the oil and gas in the runaways well is sealed already by its containment cap, so the mud won't need to be forced down so hard. Well, that's baloney, but BP Senior Vice President Kent Wells said officials could decide to implement the operation within the next couple days, long before the first relief well, still seen as the ultimate fix, is completed at the end of the month. Back in May, the top kill saw engineers spent days pumping heavy drilling fluid into the leaking well, but they failed to smother the gushing crude. Now, back in May, the top kill saw engineers spend days pumping heavy drilling fluids into the leaking well, but they failed to smother the gushing crude. Now, former Coast Guard Chief Admiral Tad Allen, who heads the government's response to the spill, confirmed there was some discussion that there might be some way to do a static pumping of mud into the top that would suppress the hydrocarbons. But Allen stressed the plan was still in its infancy and said he was waiting further analysis from BP before making a final decision. He admitted that it could have a better chance of success than the top kill because the well, which has been capped since Thursday, was now on a closed system with back pressure. Both BP and Allen treaded cautiously after a string of containment failures. Now, we're trading off on a lot of different options. We've discussed about three or four different things that could happen, the relief well being number one, said Allen. We're still very much in the design and planning phase, Wells told reporters. We've got some real experienced teams working on this over the next couple of days. Now, Gulf residents who have seen the crew tarnish their shorelines and cripple the local economy since a rig leased by BP exploded and killed 11 workers in April have reacted with cautious optimism. Kenneth Feinberg, who manages BP's $20 billion compensation fund, said capping the well would allow compensation claims to move forward more quickly as the extent of the damage becomes clearer. He urged fishermen, oyster collectors, and hotel owners and other businesses to come forward with claims, including emergency payments to cover the first 6 months of damages. Residents face a tough choice, whether to accept commission from the compensation from the fund or pursue legal action against other BP and the other companies involved. I'll be much more generous than any court will be, and at the same time, he won't need to pay lawyer's costs, urged Feinberg. Oil has washed up on the coast of all five Gulf states, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida. Blah, 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 blah. Let me go back here for a second, folks, because this is a very important statement that Mr. Feinberg made right here. All right, and it is, I'll be much more generous than any court will be, and at the same time, you won't need to pay lawyer's costs, urged Feinberg. Now, folks, this is a very, very, very loaded statement. Wrap up the show here tonight talking about this a little bit. People down there are looking at one of two things, all right? This is go in and take the money now, or hold off and take these people to court and see what a judge and jury may award you. All right, now I'm here to tell you that if you go in there and you take the money now, the judge and jury will be taken out of play. All right, no doubt about this. You know, not saying that everyone's going to do this. Anybody that doesn't go in there and take this money, I guarantee you there's going to be a few who will be able to hold out. All right, we'll be able to pay the lawyer's costs and we'll be taking BP to court later on down the road. But what's more important than that is the precedent that's being set here. Okay? This is setting a precedent for the government to step in and do this with any company that it deems responsible for damages and actions for anything that's going on in the future. All right? This is, and I believe that this happens to be a very, very, very dangerous thing. Look, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, that the old adage, let the buyer beware, you know, should come back to fruition, which way. Believe it or not, for the most part, I do believe that. But I'm not saying that at this point in time. All right, but what I am saying is that you are giving the government, okay, another level of bureaucracy and an opening to move in, okay, to form laws and to start going down the path of having a compensation board set up by some non-governmental agency every time some problem is perceived. All right, now granted, this isn't just a perceived problem that we have going on in the Gulf right here. This is a real problem. You know, and I am not belittling the magnitude of the problem or the magnitude of the damage to the ecosystem or the magnitude of the, you know, the damage. I'm not saying any of that. I'm really not. But I am saying that if these people are smart, I'm not going to let Feinberg give them anything. Don't do this. Let BP sit on its $20 billion fund. Don't anybody go in there and take it. Now, look, if you all decide to make a big rush for this and say, okay, easy money, I can have it right now. Yeah, I might be able to get a little more later on, but I'll go and take it right now. You know, let's at least we can keep moving this way. I can pay my bills, blah, 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 blah. There's money waiting there for me. Why should I let it sit there? And a host of other million excuses that you will hear people say. What you are doing is condoning the actions of the government. All right? And that, my friend, is the part that's not good here. Okay? It's just like when you see all these groups, and I'm sure everybody out here will think of this. Did you ever hear of things from some obscure group, you know, like the Council and Friends of the local park, giving someone an award for being clean in the park, you know, giving someone awards for picking up the dog poo in the park, you know, or the neighborhood council giving an award for the nicest decorated house in the neighborhood, you know, or one of these councils or groups of friends or friends of this and friends of that. All right, you know what these people are doing when they're out there giving out awards, looking to give an award to someone as they are looking to get recognized as an authority. All right, this is a very, very, very treacherous thing. You know, I have seen this happen here. I've seen it happen in Philadelphia, you know, where a group would get together and start, you know, oh, geez, this is the nicest house in the neighborhood. Let's give him an award. He's got the best decoration. He's got the best paint scheme. He's got the best landscaping. And we'll go out and we'll have a party and we'll make sure we get all our names in the paper and, you know, and these people will get these nice awards that they can hang on their wall and who cares how much money we got to spend on the awards. Because later on you come down the road and all of a sudden this council will be petitioning the government to do this. This council or this group of friends will be petitioning the government to do that. And they will not only be petitioning the government, but they will be marching their members down up and down your streets to sign petitions. All right? This is how non-governmental agencies come to the forefront and how they get themselves wedded into the government. And eventually we'll have the government, you know, open up a new office or a new this or a new that. And, of course, who is it that gets appointed to that? Why, the member of the old commission there, that council of friends, the whole bunch of buddies that you had out there. And that's the same thing that's going on here, okay? What they're looking to do here is not so much take care of people who have been helped or who have been hurt by this. They're not looking to help people who have been hurt by this BP oil spill. They're looking to set a precedent for the government to be able to start doing this with any company out there they perceive to have done something wrong to more than one person, to a group of people, to what have you. Okay? And what this will also do, okay, on top of this, is, you know, start making your courts irrelevant. And that's one of those things you got to watch here, you know. Look, we have watched this federal government grow while we are watching other things shrink. All right? Now, I look right here at Berkshire County, where I live at, where they dissolved the county government a few years ago. It's not necessary anymore. The state government handles everything just fine. Oh, does it really? Okay, well, we're still waiting to see. Some point in time, I will come out with a huge part on that. I actually have a part written into my book about this when it comes out. But the point of the matter is here, folks, that these are the insidious kind of little things that come about, okay, you know, and you got to watch for them. You got to watch for how they come about, you know. It's a very, very, very nasty situation, a very dangerous situation. Not the kind of thing that you want to, you don't want to give these people credence, you know. You don't want to give these people the kind of credence that gives them power down the road. You know, so let's face it, that's all they're out for here is power. They want control. All right, now with that, you folks, I'm sure, would like to have control of the radio station back again. I know Bob would like to have control of the airwaves. You guys would like to have control of Politics Lobby 4, Patriots Unite, where we're coming from here tonight. So, folks, once again, we have hit the top of the hour, and it's time to close her up here. The tables are all getting piled high with the chairs. The lights are growing dim. The Mater D is heading around. Yeah, he sees it. I still like this guy. He's doing a good job, and he hasn't hit me for a raise yet, which I think is even cooler. You know, I don't think he's trying to, give me a break because of the economy right now. I think he's going to whack me, though, as soon as the economy picks up. But you know what? I'm going to have to give it to him. The guy's a good man. No doubt about it. Glad he's not listening right now, because he might even hit me for it now. But fact of the matter is, hey, good people always deserve to be paid the best you can. Hey, you want to keep good help? That's what happens. Folks, when you pay peanuts, all you get is monkeys. Let's face it. All right, folks, so with that, it's time to close up the cafe, but the bar will still be open. Yes, Politics Lobby 4, Patriots Unite Room will still be open. I'm buying the first round for everybody, so come on in. But until then, folks, we'll see you next week. Don't forget to tune in all the rest of the great stations and the great shows we have over here on HearnCo.com, especially some of the jazz that Bob's been running lately. I think it's really, really cool. And we'll be back. Thank you, folks. Good night from the Politics Cafe at www.HearnCo.com, the best in Internet talk radio. Good night, folks.